Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 1st of January 2023. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week, Paul spoke on the visit of the Magi. The reading is Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. So we'll go and join Paul as he's introducing the service.
Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to see you and be with you. Happy New Year, everyone. We were a bit thin on the ground today with some of our children too. I wonder if that's because they were up late last night seeing in the new year and have laid in. But it's lovely to have you here in the church today. It's lovely to see you all and thank you for being here. And once again, Happy New Year and Happy New Year to those of you that are at home too and will be viewing this later on. There are just a few notices for the day. If you've got the notice sheet of the 18th of December, this is the last Sunday that notice sheet applies. So it's this one that you're after. If you don't have a copy, I have a couple of spare. But as I say, it's the same notice sheet we've had for the last couple of weeks. And there are just two or three things to highlight. The first is that normally on the first Thursday of each month, we would have a communion service here, followed by a meal. That would be this Thursday ordinarily, but we've postponed that until a week Thursday, until the 12th. So the communion and the shared meal together is not the 5th, but the 12th, not the first Thursday, but the 2nd. And the reason for that is at 2 o'clock on Thursday here, we have a celebration of the life of Joy Chitale. The celebration of a life, the Thanksgiving, will be here this Thursday at 2 o'clock. There are a couple of three things to say to that. The first is to say this. The family want to invite everybody that knows New Joy or wants to join in that celebration to come worship them with them here at 2. And following that, there'll be a committal at Minehead Cemetery. So you're all invited to that committal as well. And following that, there'll be a time of refreshments, shared refreshments in the hall. Now, I know Lorraine's around somewhere. If you see her afterwards, then Lorraine's going to be organising that tea. And I know would be delighted if you could help in one way, shape or form. So please see Lorraine afterwards. Secondly, just to say on the back of that, in terms of this week, most of our things get going again this week. So please come and be part of what's going on regularly. And the first thing to get going again this week is tea and coffee after the service. So I and Lorraine have put the tea and the coffee on. All the pots are brewing. We're going to make sure all that's done. We'd love it if you could give us a hand. If you're first out there, feel blessed in serving. And then if there and beyond, if you could stay and give us a hand clearing up, if you're around for 10 minutes or so, that would be awesome. But we'll serve each other tea and coffee and have some fellowship of part of today. And secondly, just to say that this is a new year and therefore a new year of prayer for Open Doors. So if you are someone that's never supported Open Doors before, don't know what that means, or if you're someone that regularly supports and want to know more, then Jenny is somewhere in the building. Hi, Jenny. She's over there. And she has the information for the first quarter of the year and the prayer diary for January through to March. So please, after the service, go and find out a bit more about Open Doors and about prayer. And lastly but not leastly, since it is a new year, if you give ordinarily to this church by way of the envelope scheme, then the envelopes are out in the hall on the table there, ready for you to collect. They've all got your name on. And I'll make sure this one goes back later on. So if you can't find your name there, and it could be that I have yours, if you see what I mean. But nonetheless, the envelopes are now ready for you to collect. Do you know, as we go through the Advent season, sometimes some of those readings that we hear during that time, during December, really kind of stick with you, don't they? And they have a resonance, not just for when they were spoken, not just for the incarnation of Christ, but even for now. And that's true of Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19. This morning I was convinced these were the words of Jesus. Isn't that weird? You'd think I would know. But they're the words of Isaiah. And they come true in Jesus. Of course they do. But the truth of that is they're also pertinent to us here today as we begin 2023. Who could believe it's 2023? Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19 says this, "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Don't you perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland." Our amazing Lord still makes way in the desert and still in the midst of the wasteland that sometimes feels like the culture we live in. Still, streams of living water flow because of who Jesus is. And it's right, therefore, that we come together and we worship him and we sing a song that reminds us that our joy is not confined to Christmas Day, but to New Year's Day and beyond. Sue, please lead us in that amazing song, Joy to the World.
Good morning, everybody. If you'd like to stand and sing with me. Not joy to the world that he's come the first time, but we know that he's going to be coming a second time to take us to be with him. Amen. Joy to the world, the Lord has come.
Seated, we're going to look this morning at the story, a story that I guess we all know well. I'm convinced we all know well. Does anyone here not know the story of the Magi and their visit to the baby? Well, in one sense, none of us know the story because, of course, it was a visit to the toddler. But the reality is we all know the story well, don't we? This is the story of the Magi's visit to the baby in Matthew chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you in Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called together the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they'd heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they'd seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they return to their country by another route. I hope you were paying attention. Let's see if you were. I don't know about you, but the truth of the matter is, it's a story I know well. Now, for our young people, I wonder if you can help me. Can anyone tell me one of the gifts that these Magi brought to Jesus? Just one. Anyone know a gift? If you don't, we'll ask the adults. William. Gold. Well done, William. They bought gold. What else did they bring? Yes. Frankincense. Not as one boy once said at a nativity play, "I was at Frankenstein." Very different thing altogether. Frankincense and myrrh. Gold, frankincense and myrrh. They're strange gifts. Now they came with gold. They came with gold. Now, I don't know if they came with gold bars, but I suspect what they came with, rather than gold bars, was likely to have been gold coins, because they were relatively easy to get hold of throughout the near Middle East at the time, and they could be divided up between everyone travelling so that if someone got robbed, not all your gold was lost. You see, that's how they used to do it in those days. So that's probably how they come. Can I ask you, everyone in the church, to do me a favour? Can you look around you, up high, down low? You might have to stand up high. Your youngsters might have to help and join. Can you find any gold? Can you find any gold? Everyone should be able to find some, at least. Oh, if you're a younger person, can you come and help me? Come out and help me. Let's see if we can do something quite amazing. Come on out, if you have a mind to help. Now, everyone should be able to find some gold. There should be some around you somewhere. You found some, Sam? Okay, you're over there. Come on up, Mum. Anybody else want to join in?
I don't.
You don't. You might in a minute, but we'll see if in a minute. All right, then. They came with gold. Gold. What's gold for? Anyone know what gold's for? Hello, thank you. Stay there. Oh, don't then. Anyone know what gold is for? What does gold represent?
Gold.
Keep it in your hands. It's all cool. Don't melt it. Wonder what does gold represent? Why bring Jesus gold? Do you know why? Ellie, do you know why Jesus was bought gold? No? Anyone know? What does gold represent? Wealth. Okay. Who would you bring gold to when they were born at the time? A king. Wow. Jesus was brought gold to show us he was a king. But this king was born in a stable. And when the Magi found Jesus, it reminded them and us that God was doing something absolutely new. That God wasn't going to be limited to a certain place at a certain time. This king would be born in a stable, not in a palace. Wow. We don't know how the Magi got there. We don't know how many there were. We don't know whether they came from one place or lots of different places, whether they started in one place or met on the journey. What we do know, okay, what we do know is that these Magi bought gold, frankincense and myrrh. Gold to represent a king. Frankincense to represent a priest. Myrrh to show about death. Amazing stuff, really. Oh, I wonder if you could do something for me. Sam, you can come and do this too if you want. But I've got these little pouches. Okay? If you take a little pouch in your hand, okay, there's enough for you all there. Anybody else that wants to join in can come and get one of these. I suspect there are adults out there with gold in their hand they do not want. Right? And if you take that little pouch around, you never know, friendly adults who might still be finding gold coins because now they realise they don't have to do anything with them, okay? And gold bars. If you go and have a hunt as we worship the Lord in our next song, you might find someone who will help you fill up your bag. And if there's any other children that want to come and do that, please come and get a bag from me as we worship. Sue.
Thank you, Margaret, for your reminder. But as we stand, we're going to take your offering during We Three Kings. I think it's quite an appropriate song, I think, for what we're talking about today.
Now, if you're an adult and you've not checked on the wood on the seat in front of you yet, you might find a few gold coins there. So if you could have a check for me, and if anyone does find a gold coin, then we'll make sure that the last few get distributed. I think we've got them. Hallelujah. If you do find gold coins for months to come, okay, it's all my fault. It's okay. Gold represents wealth, this sense of wealth. I wonder what that really means. You see, Jesus was given gifts, wasn't he, of gold, of frankincense and of myrrh. And they showed those things of him being king, priest and the fact that he'd come to die. All of which lead me this morning to simply say, let's come before him in prayer. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that we can come before you and in simplicity come and say thank you. That you are our Lord, our priest, our interceder, and that you came to fulfill the task the Father gave you. And even though that gift of myrrh bought by the Magi was probably not fully understood by your mum, we thank you, Lord, that you knew the way of the Father was the only way. And that the cross would be the cost to bring us home. As we thank you for coming incarnate, we come before you in prayers of thanksgiving this morning for the fact that you came prepared to pay the cost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Father, we come and say, Lord, we adore you. And we give you the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, please be seated. Now, I don't know about you, but there are two things that I love about the Advent Christmas period. I'm not a great fan of candles. Lorraine's got one of those candles at home that she lights, and it's supposed to fill the room with this lovely fragrance. You know the candles? The sort of candles? But she only has it on for so long, otherwise Paul coughs and splutters them. I'm not a great fan of candles, but I do love them during the Advent season. They're a reminder to me. And so our Advent ring is here and is lit this morning. They remind me of something. They remind me of the amazing gifts that Jesus gives to all of us, to every single person who knows him and trusts him as their Lord and Saviour. Now, I need a young person to volunteer. And once one's volunteered, I think most will volunteer, but we'll see. Is anyone that thinks they're good at doing what I love to do across the whole of the Advent period? Anyone like doing the puzzle section in the newspaper? Oh, maybe it's just me then, I'm a lone star. But I love those puzzles just to keep my brain active. Is there a young person that might help me out? Oh, no. Anyone dare risk it? I promise it'll be worth your while. And you won't have to do nothing, I promise, except go and find something for me. It's going to be really simple. Is there anyone here that could help me? Come on then, Ellie, you're amazing. Thank you, Ellie. Awesome, Ellie's coming out to help me. Hi, Ellie. Now, Ellie, this is a really, really, really simple puzzle for you to solve, okay? And you're going to find something, and what you find there is yours. But you've got to open it here, because there's something I need to use. Is that all right? So, Ellie, here's your clue. You're going to find this gift where someone uses their feet to play. Somewhere in this church is something that someone plays with their feet. Do you know where that might be? If not, what about the adults? Where might we find something that someone plays with their feet? The organ. Yeah, go look, Ellie. Can you see a present there at all? Yeah, cool. I told you it was easy. Now, Ellie, can I ask you a question? If you come and stand down here for me, that would be brilliant. Can I ask you a question, Ellie? Are you someone that normally takes your time opening presents, or do you just go for it and wrap all the paper off? You just go for it. You're my kind of lady if you do that. Go on, Ellie, unwrap as quickly as you can. Those are yours. The buttons are yours. The whole thing. And inside's a bit of paper. You throw the Christmas paper on the floor. Don't worry about it. Lorraine will clear up later. And open the bit of paper. And if you put the sweets down for a moment for me and pick them up later, what does your bit of piece of paper say, Ellie? Peace. Do you want to turn around and show everyone? What does it say? You need to hold it out like, is that okay? There you go. Well done. Thanks, Ellie. Keep it as still as you can, because as you get older, you need it to be still in order to be able to read it. The reality is peace. Do you know, that's a gift that we get, and those Magi got, from Jesus himself. Peace. He gives us peace. Think of the Magi. The gift of peace came because they were, in essence, they never went back to Herod. They didn't have to. They knew the peace of the Lord. It's true, isn't it, that we're always not We're not always going to necessarily have an easy life without worry or doubt or anxiety. But if we know Jesus and love him, then no matter what, we can experience his peace because we know he's beside us, alongside us. No matter what you're facing today, even if the news is the gravest news of all, if you know Jesus, he's with you. You will have peace. Thank you, Eddie. Stay there for a tick for me. Can anyone else want to volunteer? Now you know there's sweets involved. Come on in. Oh, Lorraine's going to come and help you. Is that okay? Piece of blue tack. There you go. Anyone would think we planned this, Lorraine. Okay, here we go then. Mum's going to help you. Is that all right? Here we go. This present is where you might find a Bible if you've not bought one of your own. Now, I warn you, there are two different places in church, three actually, you might find one. But you will find this present where you might be able to find a Bible if you haven't bought one of your own. And I'll give you a clue, it's that way. Go and see if you can find it. Is there a present over there on near Sue? Go see. Can you sit present? Hey, come on, bring him back. Yeah, wonderful. Come on then, man. Now, Mum's going to help you, I think. And I guess you're a ripper too, are you? Do you like ripping the paper? Let's do a quick straw poll. Who here carefully takes a sellotape off and saves the paper for another year? Can I invite the rest of the church to look around? Everyone with a hand in the air is obviously cheap. No, I'm only messing around. In truth, this year we had some beautiful paper. Presents done up in this amazing paper and we've saved it. So if you get a present from us and it's in amazing paper, it's recycling of the highest order. What have we got there? Wow, that's another. I want to show everyone. Let's see if any of the adults can read it for you. You need to hold it the right way up. That says joy. Joy. We've even sung about that already, haven't we? Joy to the world we sung. I don't know about you, but this joy thing of Jesus is not just a once in a while thing. It's not just a one-time thing, but a for-all thing. Do you find that with Jesus? My joy isn't kind of predicated on whether I feel joyous. My joy is predicated on who he is and what he's done. And sometimes when we come to church, the challenge is we come the wrong way round, just to let you know. I think we come and we say we've been really blessed and joyous at church today when the worship's touched us, or when the prayers have been crafted correctly, or when the preacher's not gone on for a long time and yet at the same time challenged us just a little, but by the way, not too much. Then we're joyous. But the joy of Jesus isn't predicated on that. Jesus gives a different sort of joy. The joy Jesus gives is the same joy that he himself had. Now, when those magi left, when they went on their way, what joy must have been in their hearts? The joy that they'd found the Saviour of the world. And the fact that this was a baby, a toddler, didn't matter. Because God's joy was in who he was and what he was going to go and do. Okay. What about this one then? Who else has got a bit of time? Who can be a volunteer again? Come on then. We've got two. This is good. Because one could be now and one could be a fourth. I promise. Who wants to go first? Go on then. Here we go. Ready? I don't know if you can hear me. This is your clue. I don't know if you can hear me. But if you find this person, they might be able to. And they've just turned me off just to prove it. All right. I don't know if you can hear me. But if you find this person, they might be able to help you. Where do you think that might be? Pat knows. If you follow the direction out the back. It's okay, he doesn't bite, I promise. Go find Roy at the back. That's a big clue. And I daren't ask, are you someone that just gently unwraps, or do you rip? No, go on, go for it. Those are yours, and there's a bit of paper in there. What does a bit of paper say? Love. Millie, I think, can you pin that one up for us, Millie? Love. Jesus came to show the world how much God loves. Let me ask you this question, and you can quote back to me John 3:16, dear church. How much does God love? That he gave his only son. And do you know the really lovely thing about standing here was that was a babble of love. See, God's love won't be confined. It wouldn't be confined to a stable block. It would not be confined just to this one scene. God's love would be a once and for all thing. God so loved the world. Just for one moment, if you get 2 seconds a day, just think of that word so, that word so. It isn't God loved the world, but God so loved the world. And when the Magi left, what they discovered was not that just God loved, but that God so loved. God so loved the world. Do you want to know how much God loves you? We're all going to do this. Do you want to stand up for me? You need to stand up to do this. If you can stand, if you can't, don't worry. But the only reason I say to stand up is you don't hit anyone. Everyone do this for me. Now, when you think you've reached out enough, can you reach out another 3 or 3 inches or so till it starts to hurt? That, dear friends, do me one favour. If you can do this, please don't. If you can't, now push your hands 6 inches behind you. That, dear friends, is the position you would have been in to be crucified. That's how much God loves. Thank you. Take a seat. Now imagine that and being pinned. God so loves. Now there's one more gift. Okay, here's the cool one. As they say, it's always a cool one. You don't have to go far. If you know what we collect the offering in and can find out where they are now, there might be a surprise in it for you. If you know what we collect the offering in, remember we did this earlier on, and you can find where they are now, there might be a surprise for you. You haven't got to go very far at all, I promise you. In fact, if you take one step to your left, no, this left, have a look in there for me. Go on in. You're a ripper, aren't you? You're not. Ooh, hello. Look, see? And she's proving it. Well done, Mum. Well taught. I'm assuming it's not Dad that's taught her well, just to let you know. You can put the... There we go. Hope. Thank you, Millie. Would you pin that one up for me? See, as if it wasn't enough that Jesus brought us love and joy and peace, he also gave us love, a hope. It was hope that the Magi left with. Hope, because they'd seen the Saviour of the world. The amazing thing is that the Magi arrived with gifts for this small toddler. And no matter how small he was, when they journeyed back, they left with more than they came with. It's stunning to think, isn't it, that if he was a toddler, they could have had a conversation with him. It's not recorded, and it doesn't matter in that sense. But what they left with was so much more. This peace, this love, this joy, summed up in hope. Hope that God, who had created the universe, had come into the world and that God had a plan. And the news this morning, my friend, is this. If you did not know the Lord Jesus when you came to church, he is here waiting to get to know you. And if you didn't know what he had as a plan for your life, the good news is the Lord has a plan. And we have hope. But more than that, we have hope that one day he'll come again. And that's what that fifth candle reminds me of. Remember I said I love them during the Advent season? The one in the middle. Because peace, love, faith and hope are his gifts. And he gives them. All you need to do is believe. So, we come to worship.
I just wanted to read out just one of these verses. It says, wise men bring their treasures, which is something that we've learnt this morning. Shepherds bow low. Angel voices sing of peace on earth. And this line says, what have I to offer? What can we give the King of the universe? What can we give to Jesus? It says, I will bring my life, my love, my all. That's all he asks of us. Let's stand and we sing this.
Amazing God, don't we? Well, I am sure we do. We have an amazing God who gives amazing gifts, who sustains us no matter what. And in itself, that's awesome. But Jesus calls us to do something with those gifts. You see, the truth is, with peace and love and joy and hope, they're so much more powerful, so much more effective when we share them, aren't they? You may have those things in your life. Incidentally, one of the best cartoons in this place, if you ever want to see it, you're going to have to go and visit Margaret in the office. Because on the wall, she's got, I think, what must be postcards and pictures in a montage. And in it are some older ladies. There's a picture of an old lady. Some older ladies. It says on it, they have joy. And it says where? Deep down in their souls. And if you look at the picture and you look at their faces, you know what that means. The reality is, the joy they have got is hidden. What about you this morning? Is your joy, your peace, your hope, your love hidden? Do you know, one of the most heartbreaking things I ever heard of was a friend of mine. And it's a tiny story, but at the time it broke my heart. It was my absolute privilege when I was in the subcontinent to see some of those Samaritan purses, boxes, you know, the ones that we give at Christmas. Literally to see them in children's hands, it's an amazing experience. And I didn't go at Christmas, they were just literally on a shelf. But he went and saw a young lady who by the time he saw her was a late teenager, and was thinking about becoming a minister for the Lord. It's an amazing story. You can read about her story on Samaritan's Purse, and I'll let you do that. But nonetheless, her story is one whereby these Christians gave this gift, and it made her inquire, who is this Jesus? And that led to her becoming a Christian. But the heartbreaking bit of the story is that she showed this friend of mine the box, the Samaritan's Purse box. And there inside it was everything that she got given, lovingly kept, including the chocolate, which by now were some 11 years out of date. That's the heartbreaking bit. And that's like you and I. If we do not take the peace, the hope, the love and the joy that the Lord has given us and share it, it's gonna be wasted. Because it's meant to be shared. Our verse for the year at NBC comes from, for 2023, comes from Galatians 5, verse 6b, that it's on the cards that we sent out this year. And this is what it says. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Or to put it another way, my head will never know the Lord loves it until you share it. Now, each of you has a piece of paper. And on the paper, it just says, my prayer for the world. Okay, in a while, we're going to ask you to share that. If you are under about 4'9", I think that's every child in the building, I think. If you're a child and you want to do something different, I'm going to invite you to come and just share with Millie. Minnie, can you just need to unravel that a bit for me? Because what we'd like you to do, if you're a child, is not to write your prayer, but to draw your prayer. And we're going to put this up in the church. So, come and draw your prayer. Draw a situation or a person that you want to pray for. If you're into drawing, if you're a child, please come and draw. If you're an adult, can I invite you to fill that prayer request in? When we come around the Lord, oh, there are some pens and pens there if you want pens. There's some drawing material there as well. Can I invite you to come and just fill that in? Because as you do that, I want to say, how do you share? One of the questions I'm asked a lot is, okay, Paul, we need to share with Minehead, how? So here's the real practical 1st of January answer. The first thing you do is you pray. If we want to reach Minehead, we need to pray. Recently a survey was done in the Baptist Union by a ministerial colleague of mine. What do you think the least attended meeting of all in church is? The prayer meeting. How dare we? How dare we say, Lord, act and not pray? Prayer is vital. Secondly, there's something else you can do. Okay, here's the deal. You can be honest and truthful with your faith. Someone comes and says, what's the Lord? Why are you looking so happy? You ever done this? If you haven't, I'm going to confess to brothers and sisters in Christ, okay? I've been going down the street thinking, Lord, you're just blessing me today. This was when I was in the city particularly. And someone would come and say, Paul, why are you so happy? And I'd say, because the sun's shining. No, I'm happy because the Lord's got hold of my life and I didn't share. The thing we can be is honest. So prayer counts. Honesty counts. And then most importantly, love counts. In a moment, we're going to come to this table, an act of communion, an action of love. Do you know that? You know that verb? When Jesus says, "Remember me," around this table, it's one of the few times Jesus does something that, in the Greek, is quite amazing. It's not as if we're told, "Remember me if you wish," but the word "remember" in Greek is a commandment. Remember me, Jesus says, around the table. Because we proclaim, do we not, in this, not just that he came, not just that he lived, not just that he died, not just that he rose again, but that one day he's coming again. Because the words we use are, we proclaim the Lord's death until you come again. Life lived well. Life loved well. Might be a summary of Jesus. It's love that moves us to speak out against the world, isn't it? When they speak against God. Not to condemn it, but to love it. It's love that means that sometimes we must say no, even to ourselves. It's the love of God that we see in the eyes of the baby that the Magi encountered in the eyes of a toddler, that Jesus showed the world in his eyes as he journeyed. It's love that we need to reach the world with. It's love that was in his eyes as he hung on the cross and he died. It's love that would be seen in the garden as Mary came face to face with him and he gently used her name, Mary. It's love that the two encounter on the road to Emmaus. It's love that's in his eyes when Peter is on the beach and he's given him back transformed life. And it's the love of Jesus Christ that you can find today if you look him fairly and squarely in the face. Love in the midst of everyday activity. I invite you to come and love the Lord. They're going to keep praying and colouring. We are going to come around this table. There will be a gap in what we do. A time for prayers of intercession. If you are able and if you wish, I invite you to stand where you are and pray your prayer. And as you do so, commit yourself to praying it again and again and again. This is a moment to stop, to acknowledge the cost, to acknowledge who Jesus is, and to remember the command he's given. However tough it might be, to love our neighbour as ourselves. A time on the 1st of January 2023 to thank God for all he's done in the past, to thank him for today, and to thank him for what is to come with its new beginnings. So come, friends, let us remember him. We come to our act of communion. Let's pray. Father God, you have made us a people. We are shaped by your will. We acknowledge the reality that we follow the way of our Lord, who said, "Thy will be done." It is Jesus himself that calls us together, gathers us to remember. We meet in Jesus' name. And because of his great love for us, so we dare to love. It is the Spirit that binds us together and leads us into truth. And so, by the grace and the power and the majesty of the Holy Spirit, we dare to speak truth into a broken world. May we follow your will, remember your Son, and be led into truth by your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, here is the Lord's table, spread out for a feast, bread for the breaking, wine poured for drinking. Signs of his love and hospitality, symbols of his life broken, his love poured out. He is not dead. He is risen. He is present among us, evidence of God's covenant grace and promise. So we come in faith to this table, you and I, companions like the Magi on the journey. Some of us fresh and eager, others weary, in need of nourishment. All of us conscious of our failings. But come now, don't hesitate. The feast of the Lord is ready, and the Lord himself invites you to come. Creating and redeeming God, we give you thanks and praise for your covenant of grace, a covenant expressed in sinful people who know forgiveness, the weary who are refreshed, the hungry who are nourished, the captives who are set free, and the oppressed who experience liberation. Thank you that you chose to make us part of your story. Thank you for Jesus Christ, who revealed your love in his death and resurrection, and who continues to share his life with us through bread and wine. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit, who sustains us in our walk together, helping us to watch over each other, to pray for one another, and to work together for justice and truth. As we eat this bread, and drink from this cup, signs of hospitality and grace. May we be empowered to serve boldly wherever you may call. Accept these prayers and our heartfelt thanksgiving in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. It was the night of the Passover, and Jesus and his friends were sharing supper together. When they were eating, he told them that one of them would betray him. They were appalled, and they all protested, shouting, "Not I, Lord. I would never betray you." Jesus, at that moment, took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." He took the cup of wine, and after giving thanks, passed it among them, saying as they drank, "This is the blood of my covenant. It is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. I will not drink again until the day comes when I drink it in my Father's kingdom." I don't know, I'm going to have to ask this openly, has anyone already been asked to come and serve communion? If not, can I ask you to do something quite profound? Sometimes in church life, it's right that we just say, if the Lord is asking you to come and give and share communion in this way, as a sign of your commitment to him and your commitment to this body, then please come and share. If the Lord is speaking to you and saying, "This is your home," can I invite you to come as we share bread and serve one another? But friends, that doesn't mean you have to be un-English. You have to move. We eat the bread as we receive it, a sign that in Christ, his one body was broken for us all. The body of Christ, broken for you. The body of Christ, broken for you. The body of Christ, broken for you. If you are a child, we have some grapes for you here. We'll share them out the front in a while. I'm going to ask Millie if she'll do that for me in a moment. Wherever Millie is, she's down there. Thank you, Millie. And we'll share those grapes amongst our young people. Sorry? Oh, I should have said the bread is gluten-free. Whether you tear a piece off or you have yourself one of the cubes, it is gluten-free bread. Sorry, I should have said. As you take bread and as you eat it, I pray that you will be reminded that we are one people and one loaf. This bread is a sign of our common faith and is testimony to the generosity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take the loaf and feed on it with thanksgiving in your heart. One people, one cup, a sign of the new covenant poured out for you and for many. This is a covenant sealed by the blood of Christ himself. So we'll drink together, because when we drink, we must be thankful and agree together never to forget. I invite you to hold on to the cup and we will drink in a while. And so in an act of rebellion, that's a strange thing, rebellion, because in reality we drink never to forget. Though the world may tell us we are wrong, the reality is we know this Christ whose covenant blood was for us all. And we drink to remember and to say hallelujah. He will come again. Amen. Let's pray. Holy God, we have been nourished and have had our thirst quenched. through bread broken and wine poured. We have, Lord, been thankful for your Son, Jesus Christ. Send us to be generous to those we meet this week, that we might show through word and deed that he is not dead, but here, present among us. Hallelujah, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this is where I'm going to ask Millie and Luke to do me a favour, because the drawing's going to come to an end, and I'm going to ask them. There's some blue tack out there, guys. Although Luke is still drawing, just to let the whole world know. Now, he's all good. He's drawing a train. All right, then. We'll ask him why in a while. And we're going to put this banner up. The children have been drawing on the edge of a banner. That simply reminds us of the reality of what the Magi found. Because you could sum up the whole of that story by saying that what the Magi found was, this is Emmanuel, God with us. And that's what the banner actually says. So there's some blue tack, a couple of packs of blue tack, guys, if we can, need to stick it on here and on there as best you can. If later on, after the service, you would like your prayer to be up here with the children, then we can certainly stick your prayer on there with theirs. Their drawn prayers, our spoken prayers. If you want to take your prayer home and feel that's the way you'll remember more to pray, can I encourage you to do so? The truth of the matter is that the Magi discovered something amazing. They discovered that Jesus was incarnate. God had come. As we said on Christmas Day, God showed up. The reality of 2023, dear Minehead Baptist, is this. God is here. Jesus shows up this morning, and the Spirit is among us. The question is not this morning, therefore, in this year, does God want to build his kingdom here, his church here? The question is, will we let him? And that's a powerful question indeed. But we're going to sing our response. Build your kingdom here, we pray.
So did you hear that subtle hint? I just thought, when I was sitting down there, I was just thinking of the words for the beginning of 2023. My Father who is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. But Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. You stand and we're going to sing.
Hallelujah and amen. Beloved, to end this service for one quick notice, lovely to end this service by using the prayer that Sue alluded to. Let's all bless each other on our way this week as we share together the family prayer, the prayer the Lord himself taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. As the Magi left the stable, they knew that the kingdom of God had come. And they knew that God's was the power and the glory. May you also know that this week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
To leave a comment, please go to minehead-baptist.com/sermons. Thank you once again for listening, and I'll speak to you soon.